Father, we praise you and we thank you for all the wonderful graduates and their lives and what they represent, what they will do. We pray in the name of Jesus, a covering of the blood of Jesus all over their lives and wherever they go. Make connections that are significant, that are powerful, that will be impactful for our nation and for our families and our cities. And we pray for every one of them that their path has already been set. You said that you have a plan for every one of your people, and that you have a great plan, a wonderful plan, a plan that doesn't involve death and destruction and sickness and disease, but a plan that is a good plan, a plan of health and prosperity, success, a plan of victory, a way out every time the enemy tries to come. So we pray over them. We confess over them the protection of God, the success of God in their endeavors. And whatever they set their hand to do, whatever wherever they go, they'll find success. We give you praise for all that they're doing. And so, Father, we also take this opportunity to pray for all those families that lost children and those children who are unmarked graves of our First Nations people across Canada. We pray for the wisdom of God for those who have taken care of these situations. We pray for the governments, those First Nations leaders that have to do business in that particular aspect. We pray for the wisdom of God for everyone. We pray for the peace of God and the love of God would prevail over hate and inequities and injustices. And we pray, Father God, that because we pray that you will move upon these people and that there'll be safety for everybody, and that we know that no one can ever pay back the injustices, but you can make it up. Only you can do that, Father, through your wisdom and your strength. And we thank you for that today. We pray that the whole church everywhere would become aware of it and begin to pray and believe for that. We give you praise. We spread the love of God, and we pray the healing of God for all the families and all those that have been infected. And we know that people in this city that have been affected in a very terrible way. I've personally talked to those people, and they've been very, very upset over it and hurt. And so we pray the healing power of God upon their lives. Every one of those, especially those ones that have been to residential school in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And we pray in the name of Jesus, the healing power of God will flow to them. Healing would be granted to them, and that they'd know Jesus Christ and know real healing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. All right. God bless you. Thank you for agreeing in prayer this morning. We want to thank those that are continually giving online. We appreciate all the giving, all the givers that are continually making what we do successful. And people ask me all the time, how is the church doing? What's going on? And, you know, we have to say, well, we've been doing great. You know, almost getting used to staying home, working from my house. It's been great. Good to see Brother Mark and his family. Maybe he should become a pastor here. it's so good to have old friends, new friends. it's been very successful in terms of what we're doing here. And people still come to help, and Pastor Ken reminded me, like, it's wonderful that people are still being vitally involved in the church and things that are happening throughout the week. There's people here all throughout the week doing something and helping out in some way. There's people coming in here Wednesday, Tuesday, cleaning up everything and disinfecting and all that stuff. And I know that people would like to be here. I think we have 60 people this morning or something like that. We had to turn people back this morning because of the names. Their names were on there, and people were coming in. So we're sorry if you came in and you didn't. You've missed the. Some people didn't know about registration. You have to keep in contact with the church to know that, and or get an email or something or phone in. So some of you might have been upset if you were turned away, but we're very, very sorry. We have to go by that. If we promised someone a seat and you sent in, then that's your seat is reserved for you until a certain time. Then if we turn you away, we're also sorry for that, because you might have made great effort to get here. We hope you come back again, because we don't want to turn anybody away. And I think next week we're going up to 25%. I think we're up to 15%. I think we can fit, according to the fire marshal on our paper, it says 520 people can fit in this room. That's double-decker. I guess that's what the fire marshal told us. So, but I think we could fit 400 if we cram-jam everybody in here. And so we're talking, Pastor Ken and I, or Pastor Steve and I talked last week. I mean, we took half the chairs out of here, and we had to separate and make room for the 6 feet rule. And we're actually, I think this week we're going to plan a meeting with someone. And I've already had some names about our next project, and that is to build another auditorium. I think maybe on that side, build maybe a 1,000-seat auditorium. That's what we're planning on doing. So the next 5 years, that's going to be the plan. So that's coming up. Amen? You think we can fill that? I believe so. We're also planning on this fall, we're going to build, start with the plans with our women's center and helping with women who are off the street. So believe God for us, we're going to do it. We have people who are actually in the community that do stuff like that, that come to this church, they know how to do stuff. And we thank for everybody that's key, that's helping us reach out. And last week we sent a $5,000 check to one of our brothers who started the church on the First Nations territory. And it's a very fine edifice, a very nice large building over on, what's that place called? Cattle Point First Nation. And it's a nice, very beautiful building. I'm going to help open the ceremonies for that coming in August. And we also helped another church with another $5,000 in Toronto. They just bought a church over in the Toronto area. You know, you can't get very much for $1 million. And so we sent out money for that. And we also gave another $5,000 to another church just nearby. So, you know, the church has done well. And because we give, money keeps coming back to us. We're stewards of God's ministry, and we bought a church building in Geraldton. So that was a very, a big blessing, because we were giving money out. Pastor Ken and I drove every week for 5.5 years. We drove every Thursday after work. We'd drive there to Geraldton and preach 2-3 hours there and come back 1 o'clock at night, go back to work for 8:30. We did it for 5 years, and I thank God. I want to give myself a clap for sticking that out, pat myself on the back for it, and Pastor Ken. And you know, we saw moose very close, up close and center. Those nights to come by, see moose going by, driving by. It was pretty scary. And I think Mark taught me how to find a moose during the nighttime over the years. And I kind of look, because Pastor Ken, watch out, there's a moose there. So it was wonderful. We saw a lot of moose. I've actually saw a cougar. If you can believe that, can you believe me? I saw a cougar. I could not believe it was a cougar. I thought, I can't believe it. And I thought it was my imagination. And over by just past Nipigon. And I've seen recently all the sightings that people have seen them. I don't know, Mark, do you believe in that? Yeah. So he's a hunter, so that's why I asked him that. Some of you guys don't know, but these things are around. So I was told around the area, around Kern River, not too long ago, that there was a sighting of a cougar in our area. It's not a woman, a cougar. A cougar. You see. That's just not too long ago. It was just, yeah. And so coyotes, they're coming everywhere. Coyotes are coming, elephants, tigers. No, they're everywhere. So all kinds of animals. Yesterday, we get deers all the time come through our yard, walk between our cars, say hello, have a coffee, and send them off. But there's all kinds of animals around. Anyways. This is not a circus. This is actually a church service. Okay. Did you find your Bible, Bibles and something to write on this morning? Thank God for that. Let's go to, we're going to go to Luke 10:19. Praise God. Lukey hasn't come back yet, has he?
No.
Not yet, no. So Lukey just finished graduating his first year from Rhema. So first year Rhema grad. Thank God for Lukey following his dad's footsteps. But don't follow too closely, they say, because you might fall in the same places, you know. So Brother Hagin taught us that, right? He says, you can follow somebody, but don't follow too close because you make the same mistakes they do. He does have a heavy foot, you know. Oh. All right. Let's go to, we're talking about the believer's authority this morning. And we want to talk about not giving him any place in your life, giving no place to the enemy. And our main idea today is whoever you yield yourself to, that's going to be you are the servant of that person or that entity, whoever you yield yourself to. You're a servant to whoever you yield yourself to. So the Bible says that we have been given authority over our enemy, the devil, and all of his cohorts. And the enemy causes many difficulties in the lives of many, many Christians, particularly Christians, because you don't bother people who are not really saved. He does bother them, but not as much as he does to people who are Christians that are doing something for God, especially. And they will cause a lot of havoc in your place, like, you know, pests. They'll cause lots of trouble in your life if you don't know how to deal with the devil. He'll harass you and harass you and harass you. He'll never stop. And so you have to learn how to deal with him or put up with him, but we don't have to put up with him. We need to deal with him in a way that God has told us to. And so whenever any kind of temptation come, you know, he'll tempt you to do all kinds of stuff. He'll tempt you to feel sorry for yourself. That's a big temptation, to feel sorry for yourself and blame people. And he'll tell you all things. And you think it's all in your own mind, because he likes to tell you, he likes you to think that this is just your own thinking. But really, he's behind. He has access to your soul. He has access to your mind. And many people don't understand that. Even Christians don't realize that the devil gets a hold of them. And so we are not to give into his ways, but we are to resist him. And if you don't know how to resist him, I guess you can't. And if you don't know that he's actually there doing stuff, then you won't be able to take your authority. But through the scriptures, we can learn how to deal with him and not be fearful of him. And there's a lot of people that don't have the understanding. They're afraid of the devil for no reason. They shouldn't be afraid of the devil. He's already defeated. And you don't have to be afraid of him. I mean, we've learned to be afraid of him somehow. Fear is dominant in many lives. What Jesus said to his disciples here about dealing with the devil, he said, I give you power. And so that's what we're going to call it. I give you power. Luke 10:19, Jesus speaking to his disciples said, I give you power. And the Greek word here is exousia, spelled E-X-O-U-S-I-A, exousia, exousia. It's translated authority. This is the King James Version I'm reading. To tread on serpents and scorpions, and those are types of demonic forces. And over all the power, we see another word, power. And that word power is actually not authority. It's the Greek word dunamis. And lada is loosely translated here as strength and power or ability of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So in that King James Version, if you just read it that way, you would think power is mentioned twice and there's no significance to it. There is. Because, we've been given power over the devil. And what good is it if we know that we've been given power, but we don't know how to use it? And sometimes the devil is somewhat sophisticated, because he'll lie to people and tell them that he actually is not there when he actually is there. He's just telling them, that's just the way you think. So he tricks people into thinking that he doesn't exist, when he's actually in there affecting the soul of man. And so Jesus delegated that power to us when he left. So after his resurrection, he immediately gave his power, or the power that he gained, or regained, because Adam lost it. He gave that what they call a power of attorney. After the fall of Adam, who lost that power in Genesis, the Bible says in Luke 4:6 that the devil talks to Jesus and said, "All this power will I give you." And I looked at this version in the various sources and saw what actually he was saying. He was promising Jesus a whole lot more than people recognize, but Jesus knew. He'll promise you a lot of things if you will follow him, but he's very sophisticated in letting you know that he's leading you down the wrong road. And some people don't know, they're being led astray. But they think the devil's going to show up like he's the devil. "I'm the devil, and I'm really evil, and I'm going to destroy you." But no, he comes in a way, in a fashion that you won't even recognize. And pretty soon you're caught into something, and then you're down the road taking a 5-year journey, and then you know, a place where you don't want to go. You know what the Bible promises us? That with walking with Jesus, there's no bad trails. Every trail that Jesus leads you to is always a blessing. So when we follow the enemy, he's going to lead you down a road that God never designed you to go to. Because if you see these scriptures, you know, Genesis or Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "I got a wonderful plan for you. An awesome plan, a future and a hope." You know, that word hope, the Bible hope is an excitement that something good is going to happen. You're anticipating something good. And not something that, you know, you're dreading that's going to happen, some evil that's going to happen. It's something really good, right? It's not just evil. So when I begin to see these scriptures, it excites me, because Ephesians 2:10 talks about, if you read that in the Amplified, it talks about that God has prearranged a wonderful plan for you. But there's somebody who's going to try to come and disturb that. He's going to try to steal from you. And any way he can, he'll do three things. He'll try to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his M.O. He's going to try and do that somehow, either through your life directly, if you don't know, or through your wife, or through your children, or through somebody around you. He's going to try to bring that in your life. He's going to try to find a way in your life to get that, to get you to have that destruction come in your life. You know, that's why one of the scriptures I like is over, and we'll talk about it again later, as Colossians 1 and 12. It talks about giving thanks unto the Father, who has made his meat, the King James says, who has made his meat, M-E-E-T, I think it is, the King James, but it means who's made us able, A-B-L-E, able, making us able to be participants, to be a participant in the kingdom, in his kingdom. Then it goes on in verse 13, I think it says, he's delivered us from the power, or the scripture says he has delivered us out of the power of darkness. How many know that devil has some power, but it's in the darkness? If you go into the darkness, that's where he has authority in there. He has authority there. You go into his territory, he's going to get you. And so he's delivered us from the power of darkness. That's what we have right now. We've been delivered out of darkness. Amen. That's why when we get born again, I mean, the light's turned on. How many of you, when you got born again, the light turned on? You know, I mean, you just feel so happy. I mean, the sun's out. It's even brighter, greener. The grass is greener. And that's why the Bible says, Matthew 4:16, it says, the people who sat in darkness saw a great light. That's talking about when God comes in, light comes in. Lightness come in. You feel elated, and the devil is destroyed, you know, as far as, being in bondage. Sometimes we didn't know we were in bondage. I remember years ago, before I was born again, I was a college student, and I was suffering depression. I had what people call these days, they have different terms today with these things, because they find out more things about what happens to people. You go through Great Depression, and I suffered a great deal with when I was in the residential school in the 60s, and when we were in care, and different things happened to us when we were in care. And I suffered from all the effects of addictions in my home, and by the time I'm in my teens, I'm really damaged goods, and I didn't know I was depressed until I was 24 years old, come to Jesus, and all of a sudden that whole thing was lifted from me. I was so happy. I didn't realize there was such a thing as depression because my doctor sent me to a psychiatrist, and he noticed that I was not functioning well because I'd been going back and forth to the doctor, and he couldn't find anything wrong with me. He sent me to a psychiatrist. I went to a psychiatrist, and I sat down with the psychiatrist. He asked me, "Are you depressed?" I said, "What is depression? I don't know what depression means." It's a word to me. I noticed that after I got born again, even when there was nice days, when things were happening, I was always had some kind of oppression on me. When you know you've been oppressed all your life and suddenly it's gone, you know it's gone. And that's why when I got born again, I cried and cried. I cried for days. Someone told me and came to our office last week because of the discovery of these children. They were so impacted, they cried for days. You know, but I cried for days because I was happy, not because I was suffering. I was happy because the devil's power has been taken off from me. I was so blessed to be free. And I don't know, some of you, someone said the more you've been delivered from something, the more love you have for God. That's what the scripture said. Jesus said it. The ones who's had so much on them, they seem to love God more. And I told Jesus, "I'll give you my life." But of course, I tried to take it back in so many ways over the years. I wanted to do my own thing. And I didn't want to be a pastor for sure. You know, first of all, I didn't see how much it pays. And nobody cares to be a pastor. I don't see anybody lining up and going to school to be a pastor. And so it's not that easy. And so, you do these things. And anyways, we'll talk about that story another time. But the devil, he's trying to steal from you. And when you've been delivered from the power of darkness, when darkness leaves you and light comes in, you know something's happened. So I was happy for a long, long time and hung around these Pentecostal people. They told me, "Oh, one day you'll lose that." You know, you won't be as happy. You'll be just as sad as us one day. And so that's the way it was for a while. So anyway, Adam lost the power that was given to him over in Genesis. The Bible says in chapter 1 that God gave Adam, his first man, he gave him power. You know, Jesus is called the second Adam because Jesus had to, you know, become man again. I was listening to a Jewish man the other day. He said, Jesus could not be who he say he is. I'm talking about this as a Jewish, what do you call these, rabbis? He said, Jesus could not be who he say he is, the Savior or whatever, Messiah. He said, because Jesus taught against the Torah. And he said, there's only one law, and that is the law of love. That's what Jesus taught, right? One law, not just the Ten Commandments, but one law covers all the commandments. If you love somebody, you'll never break the Ten Commandments. That's what Jesus taught. He said, so therefore, Jesus could not be because he spoke against. He didn't spoke against. He added to it, made it easier for us. Then he said, secondly, Jesus could not be who he said he was because he said he's the Son of God, or he's God. That would make that's blasphemy, that a man said he's God. So anyway, I guess if you're not born again, you know the Bible says that the veil is there with the Jewish people. There's a veil there. How many people know that the calendar of the Jewish people has stopped? Right, it's going to continue after the rapture. That calendar will continue after that. And there's going to be some wonderful things happening. Thank you for the rejoicing. These guys are rejoicing. Anyway. So the original power was taken from man, or mankind, or humans. Adam and Eve in Genesis 1:28-29, he says, I'll give you dominion. And that's one of the things about authority. He says, I'm going to give you dominion. I want to give you the power Jesus said over here, I'll give you power. I give you authority. So it's important that we recognize that God has given us power, given us authority. One of the other words for authority is power, of course. Jurisdiction, another word, is for that. I give you power or jurisdiction, command or control, or mastery, charge or dominance, dominion or rule or sovereignty, or ascendancy or supremacy, domination, influence, sway, upper hand, the leverage, clout, the muscle, the teeth. These are all, you know, I mean, if you use all these words, people grab a hold of something. They recognize that God has given us that. He's giving you this dominance. And what we don't understand sometimes the way we should is that we have more authority in our lives than we realize. I think we're realizing it more and more because the devil comes in your house. He does things. He causes all kinds of stuff. But we can have dominance over him when he tries to come and do something in your life. We have mastery over him. And so Jesus, after he left, just before he left, Matthew 28 says, and Jesus came, spake unto them, or his disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He said, all power. He was given all power. He gained his power back that Adam had before. And he took it back from the enemy. We see that from other scriptures. He says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. By the way, we're going to have a baptism. We're trying to figure out how to have this out. And there's a number of people in this church that says, we want to be baptized. And also we're going to do it. And we're arranging it right now, even as we speak. So, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, King James says. Now, somebody says the last word of anybody that leaves somewhere, always give a last word to somebody, is very important. And he said his last words before he left, he said, I give you power. I give you authority. God wants you to know that you have power in your life. Take it back. Wherever he has power, wherever he has dominance, he's dominating somewhere in your life, you need to take that back. It's not as obvious as we think it is sometimes. The enemy comes in, he lies, he's a great liar. He steals, he destroys. And we say, well, I've got nothing wrong with me. Well, hey, wait a minute, maybe you do. The Lord will show you where he has that. And so we're learning more and more as we walk with God where he has been dominant. And in Luke chapter 9, Jesus gave 12 disciples, he gave them power and authority. Over here, Luke 9, 1, he says, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Luke 9, 1. Jesus called them and he gave them this ability, even to cure diseases. Later on, he gave 70 people, not only those 12, but 70, and gave them authority as well. Luke chapter 10, verses 1, 9, 8, 18 to 20 says, after these things, verse 1, the Lord appointed 70 also and sent them two by two before his face everywhere, every city and place where he himself would come. And he says in verse 9, heal the sick that are therein, and say to him, the kingdom of God is near, come nigh unto you. Then in verse 18, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying to the Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said unto him, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power. Again, here's scripture. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means will hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to your, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Luke chapter 10 there, verse 20. The Lord had called his 70 here, or his other disciples, gave them the same authority as well, and they came back with joy. What joy it is to know that you have authority in your own life. The greatest day in your life is when you know that your prayers work for you, that you don't have to depend on the next guy. God made sure for you to take care of your stuff. You don't have to go to someone and say, please pray for me, whether it's healing or whatever it is. I don't see in the Bible where they got 25 people to pray for someone's healing. It's a done deal. I said it's a done deal. Okay, sometimes we don't get it right away because we have to, you know, review our own selves and figure out what we have to do. And a lot of us, I struggle with it myself. I'm telling you. You know, I teach this and I've had occasions to be sick and had to struggle. When I first started out, particularly in 1991, shortly after, I had a stroke. I suffered for 5 years. I couldn't get better. I was sick every day, pain every day, impeded with my feet and my arm, and the doctor says that I had a stroke. And the devil taunted me every single day. I went to my office. I'm going to kill you. Your kids are not going to have their dad. Your wife's going to be a widow. How many people know the devil's a liar? He'll try to intimidate you and tell you, what kind of minister are you? He's still doing that today. Same tricks. You're not going to have that building. You're not going to have that money. I remember years ago, we were trying to get the building. We were over the Secord for 18 years. And every time Mark, Davey, or somebody comes, you're still at this building? I said, yeah. I ain't moving either. I don't have any money. I know my people in this church. I know what kind of money they made. They don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to build a new building. I said, when we're ready, we're going to do it. And so one day, I was ready. I told Pastor Steve, okay, put that building. He put it in. By next week, it was sold. And we didn't have anywhere to go. That's another problem. So we sold the building. And I remember waking up 5 o'clock in the morning praying and saying, Lord, we got nowhere to go. We go back to the hotel. So we had a bunch of people of, you know, how many, I'm saying this because to show you have authority. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, that we have authority in this life. And we reign in this life by one, Jesus Christ. And we reign in three areas. We have authority in three areas. The Bible says we reign in this life. The word reign signifies kingship or authority. We reign. We have authority. We have dominance or dominion in three areas. Number one, you do have authority over the devil, all of them. Every devil that would try to come to you and to try to destroy you, to kill, to steal and destroy, you have authority over yourself and your family to take authority over those devils, to command them to get your hands off those areas that affect you every day. And then the next thing, you have authority over yourself. You have to take authority over your mind and your physical body. Your physical body, which we call the desires of yourself that is not born again, you know, whatever it is. I remember just thinking about that, Keith Moore's wife, what's her name? Sylvia? Phyllis. She said she tried all kinds of diets all her life. She was expert in it, all kinds. She never had any success in it until she used a Jesus diet to be led by the Lord. And so she's had great success in it, lost a lot of weight, and stayed healthy, of course. And so thank God for diets and all that. But, you know, we need to rely on the Lord. So we have authority over ourselves. How many people understand it's not easy to say no to your flesh? I'm trying not to look at any one person because I don't want to be accused of preaching to them. So somebody says, you're preaching to me. Of course I'm preaching to you. You're here. But I don't go on and think about, okay, I'm going to preach this message to that person. That happens a lot, actually. And so we have authority over those areas, whether it's appetites of the flesh. Because, you know, when you get born again, like you just got born again recently. Give this guy a hand. He got born again. Was it Wednesday? Wednesday night, yeah. And I was just wonderful to see that. And your friend, that's not him, the other guy. Well, he already backslid. No, I'm just kidding. But this guy was here last time. Boy, well, thank God these young men are getting born again. It's amazing. Thank God. Are you happy because of it?
Yeah, I'm happy 100%.
Praise God. The power of God came on you.
I felt a lot better when I got home also. So.
Awesome. Well, continue that. Continue that adventure. Yeah, yeah. Praise God for it. Anyway, so when I'm just trying to say this because of you as well, because I know all of us have related to this. Like, you know, you get born again, you feel good for, like, you know, I don't know, some of us maybe longer, others maybe less. I got born again in the 80s. I threw out all my Elton John albums out. And later had to go buy them all again. I used to throw out my cigarettes out the car. I quit the cigarettes. And then 5 minutes later, I go back over there and pick them up. You see, that's what I'm talking about. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, it's little by little. Don't feel bad if something happened to you. Keep going, because the devil will try to get to you. So, whatever you had trouble with after you got born again, that's what I'm trying to say. You have authority, and that's the process of renewing the mind. You have to remember you have authority over that. It might not seem like it. It might not seem like you have that authority, but it's there. You have authority. And the devil likes to tell you have no authority over your circumstances. And so that's the third area. You have authority over circumstances in your life to change them in the name of Jesus, to call that thing to come in line with the will of God, the purposes of God. How many people know that there is a will and purpose of God? So we have authority to bring that in line in Jesus' name and to cause that thing. If anything is happening, is anything that's causing you to fall back and not follow Jesus, the devil is going to put all kinds of circumstances to discourage you, dissuade you from following him. And so we have to pray and believe and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that circumstance is discouraging me, causing me to feel like I want to quit. So we're going to take authority over that. We're going to believe that the will of God is going to come in line there in that area. So we need to do that. So that's what I'm trying to say. We have power more than we need. So a lot of us are waiting for the devil to show up. Because in case we do have the power. You know, I mean, the illustration that we used to get from Brother Hagin is that they're waiting for the devil to show up in a red suit with horns and a tail and a pitchfork. And so, I'm the devil. Well, he's not going to show up that way. He might show up as a, how old are you?
I'm 19.
You're 19. He might show up as a 16-year-old girl. He said, yeah, all of a sudden you have all these nice, wonderful girls. Come on. What is your name again? Brent?
Dylan.
Dylan, let's go for a nice cruise. Well, that sounds pretty good. Pretty girl. She's got a nice car. Let's go for a cruise. I mean, that's how it is. You know, it pulls you back in. It says in there, Matthew 4, deceptions and all that of the world will come to you to get you out, back out there again. So stick close to the people that will help you. And listen, you know, we believers, we need to give people a break, because if someone falls back, don't tell them, I told you to fall back. No, just encourage. Don't even mention about it. Just encourage somebody. Say, hey, let's get back in line again. We like to pick on each other, don't we? You know, you say to them, they come to church, they're missing for 6 months. You look at them and say, like, I've been praying for you. And they would tell somebody that's been missing for a long, long time, that they say, where you been? You know, come on, people, be more encouraging than that, right? So we need to be really easy on folks that, you know, it's good to be with the right people, right? So anyway, God says he wants to give us this, he wants to give us a, to know this power. And if you read in the book of Romans, we have authority over our own flesh, our own body, things that we want to do. Like when you're born again, your spirit is born again, but your flesh will always want to go back to those things that you used to enjoy before, that your flesh used to enjoy. The other day, I don't know if anybody relates to me. You might think I'm crazy. I'm a pastor. I mean, I was involved in all kinds of stuff before. And temptations come all the time. And people are waiting, what is he talking about now? What can I put on next? I'm not going to tell you everything. I might get fired over here. You know? Pastor, kids getting ready here. I won't tell if you want to tell, Pastor Ken. We tell each other secrets, eh? Pastor Steve's next over there. No, anyway, like I was telling someone, you know, like, the easy one is smoking. They tell us, I mean, I don't know, maybe I can believe for this part. Maybe you need to show me, help me out with this thing. Because when someone's smoking, if I stay there long enough, that smoke comes to me and go, oh, wow, oh, it's so wonderful. Because that's my flesh. And they tell us in addictions, it never goes away. Your brain, that part of yourself, unless you get complete healing, because I'm not completely healed, and forgive me. Because they say, of course, you know, you can say the same thing about yourself. You walk by a hot dog stand, and maybe for you, it's a hot dog. Oh, I can eat 7 of those right now. Chocolate? Yeah? See? Miss Grace's sins are coming out too. Come on, there's all kinds of stuff happening here. So, but we, you know, it's hard to tell your flesh, no, you know. My wife's the same thing. She has the same, you know, with chocolate and stuff. So we all have something in our lives. For you, it might not be what I had. Somebody might be something different. Could be all kinds of stuff. Maybe somebody is a gossip. You've been a gossip all your life. You learned that, and somehow it stuck with you. Maybe there's a spirit around that area. Maybe it's in your family. There's some families, they just gossip all the time. They like to talk about everybody, you know. And so that can happen in families. Spirits. I don't know, I'm not trying to look over there, but the Wesleys are sitting on that side. So anyway, so we have authority over these areas. It might not seem so obvious, hey, I'm the devil. I'm the one that's tempting you. It could be something like feeling sorry for yourself. It's a temptation. You know, I learned this, that you cannot feel sorry for yourself and be in faith at the same time. You cannot feel sorry for yourself. Oh, look how bad I am. You know, look at poor old me. And be in faith about something. It's absolutely impossible. And so the devil tempts people in a lot of ways than what we've imagined. He comes in very sophisticatedly and slows you down. If he can't stop you, he'll slow you down for a long time, years. So we need to learn very fast how to take our authority back. And God wants to give you that authority. Make it a realization in your life for real and not just some kind of spiritual theory that, hey, I have authority. Don't wait until you have a crisis to start taking this authority and start confessing the Word of God over our lives and say, hey, you know, even if it's really, things have gone really bad and it doesn't seem like it's ever going to change, come on, let's start confessing the Word of God over those areas. And things, you know, people can affect you. Other people's lives can affect you. And we have to pray the will of God for people around us that they'll begin to yield to the will of God. You know, it'll affect you through other people, your work in the workplaces and your family and different things can affect you. So, there are some extremes in the Bible. Or in life that are extreme over the top, there's two kinds of people that we need to be aware of when it comes to the idea of exercising authority over devils. And we should be aware of it. Number one, that there are people who believe that there's no devils at all. There's no such thing as a devil, and that he doesn't actually have anything to do with your life. So there's people like that. So, even some Christians, you know, they don't believe that. The devil doesn't. He doesn't bother me. And so we have people like that, they don't believe that there's devils. The Bible teaches us, if you read the New Testament, you can't deny it's all in there. Number two, that there's people, these extremes, they believe that there are devils everywhere. We're infested with them. They're under your table, they're in your refrigerator. They're everywhere. Remember that story about, I think it was Norval Hayes, right? He said, are you one of these people that there's, you see a devil behind every bush? He said, yeah, I see him everywhere. The devils are everywhere. But anyways, so this first category, that some people don't believe that they're devils, are like those Sadducees who believe that there are no spirits or there's no resurrection. Over here in Acts 23:8, he says the Sadducees say that there's no resurrection, there's no angels, there's no spirits, but the Pharisees confess there's both, there's angels and there are spirits. So some people don't believe that devils can affect you. And that mentality is there. So they don't believe that it affects us in the physical. We are three parts, spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, angels are real, and so are demons. I've seen people that I know that they've seen devils and they've seen demons, and I've had occasions to have encounters with demons who actually spoke and said different things. But people don't believe that. I do. I'm looking for them. They show up. If you have to deal with people who have them, they show up. They manifest themselves. I've seen them manifest in Christians. And here's people say, well, maybe I've got one. And they will say, oh, yeah, maybe you got two of them. But sometimes they affect Christians. And you can get rid of them. Just take authority over yourself. Just say, get out of my mind. Get out of my body. You have no authority over my body. You have it. And stop what you're doing, whatever it is you're doing. And then you can take authority. So I've seen people who were spirit-filled, or they spoke in tongues at one point. I see them manifesting in over the years. And it's not a big thing to recognize that. Jesus came to, of course, Peter was not born again then. He says to Peter, get away from me, Satan. He's speaking through Peter. And we need to recognize these things and take authority in our own lives. So if we take authority, we can have them, our dominance over them again. Because you like to say, I'm not around. I'm not here. You don't have any problems with that. You just have a bad habit. So the Bible says there are evil spirits. Look at over here, Ephesians 6:12. And these are the spirits that Jesus already has dominion over and gave us power over. He says, therefore, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and against rulers of darkness of this world. So principalities, powers, and darkness of this world are the spirits that we have to contend with every day. It says, against spiritual wickedness in high places, that's the spirits that Jesus takes authority over. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, I believe it's after 18, he says, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. That means whatever you call illegal or unlawful here in your life, unless you deal with them. You see, here's the thing about it. God is not going to come and just deal with the devil unless you do something about it. I remember this illustration. Remember, we always talked about it before, and it's true, still true, that when Brother Hagin, Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin and said to Brother Hagin, I'm going to teach you about demons, evil spirits, and the devil, and how to get hold of people, including Christians. That's what Jesus said to Brother Hagin. Including Christians, because he's done that to ministers, take them out of ministry. And Jesus is talking to Brother Hagin, and we heard him speak this ourselves at school. He said, here's what I'm praying. He said, I'm sitting there, and Jesus appears to me, and he says to me, I want to show you about this. And he started explaining to Brother Hagin how this happens. So as he's explaining this scenario to Brother Hagin, this demon shows up between him, comes between both of them, and he starts jumping up and down and screaming. And he couldn't hear what Jesus is saying. He said, doesn't Jesus know this demon is here? And he's interfering in our conversation. I can't hear him. I can't. What's he saying? And then he said, all of a sudden smoke comes up. He couldn't hardly see Jesus anymore. He couldn't even read his lips. You know, what's wrong with Jesus? Why doesn't he do anything about that demon? And finally he got mad. He says, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And he said that demon fell down, bang. And he whimpers away like a little whipped pup. He said, yeah, you have to go. And Jesus looked at Brother Hagin and said, if you didn't do anything about that demon, I couldn't. And for three times, this went on. And Brother Hagin said, I'm hearing wrong. Jesus, you said that you wouldn't. No, Jesus said, I couldn't. No, wait a minute. You said you wouldn't. No, Jesus said, I couldn't. And so he went on through. He said, that's why you have to understand that if you don't do anything here on earth, I don't have authority here on earth. You have authority. He said, I gave that authority to you. If stuff is going on in your life, you have to do something about it, or else I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I don't have legal access to it. You see, God, the devil is the god of this world, period. You have to see that in the scripture. If you don't see that in the scripture, you understand this. The devil is the god of this world, and he has access in this world. Luke 4:6 says that Jesus told the devil, or at least the devil told Jesus, I have authority in this world. Jesus called the devil the prince of this world. You see, that's not going to last forever, because one day the devil will not be the Lord of this world. His reign will end a certain time, and he will not have that authority anymore. This whole world, the Bible says, is groaning for redemption, including this earth, this physical, natural earth. And one day God is going to renew this world that's tainted with sin, and it'll become brand new again, just like us. So we have something to do with it. And I'm going to have to end here because it's 2 minutes after. So we have authority over these. So we want to continue to learn that you have a right, you have the power, you have the dominance, and don't be afraid of the devil. Say, I won't. Because Jesus said, the scripture says, I will not be afraid. The biggest thing is, don't be afraid of the devil. You need to stand your ground, because God has given you power. You can take authority over that. And he's sophisticated, because sometimes you don't think he's the devil. So just know, when your flesh starts acting up, he's going to take advantage of your flesh and just jump right in there and help you out to indulge in whatever sin it is. Let's go ahead and stand up and pray. Father, we want to thank you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise for all that's doing in our lives. We thank you for the revelation knowledge that we have power and authority over all devils, including our flesh. We have power over our flesh and our circumstances in life that are coming to discourage us to following you and blaming other people, blaming other folks, when it's the devil. He's behind those areas. So thank you, Lord, for authority. Thank you for power. We all in this church and people online are watching, they understand. This is just a reminder of what we already know, that we have authority. We might have heard this so many times before, but again, we need to recognize that he, as far as he's concerned in our lives, he's done. He doesn't have authority in our lives. Thank you, Lord. You have delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us in the kingdom of your dear Son, in whom we have redemption through your blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for authority. Thank you for power. Thank you for legal access to heaven and all that's good. We give you praise. We thank you for all that's happening in our lives. You're restoring all things, and that you have great things in plan for us. We praise you. Thank you. Let's go ahead and lift our hands and bless him. Father, we praise you. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Thank you. We're so happy to be a child of God, that we're free from the enemy. And if we've erred in an area that we've been struggling with, we just give that to you, Lord. We just give it, whether it's worrying or feeling angry, we just give that to you. We say, Lord, we want to just learn more effective ways, in the practical way, how to help ourselves, to remind ourselves that we have this, we got this, because you've given us this authority. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.